going to spend the next few days looking at a problem in this country and a number of solutions to it. The problem is homelessness. There are more than 500,000 people in this country who have been identified as homeless. Some of the solutions can be found in the four places we'll be hearing from, starting with New Orleans, where the homeless population more than doubled after Hurricane Katrina. In 2007, there were more than 11,600 homeless people in New Orleans. Since then, the city has reduced homelessness by 90%. Joining us now is Martha Cagle, Executive Director of Unity of Greater New Orleans. That's a nonprofit collaborative that provides housing and services to the homeless. Martha, welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So 90%, that sounds pretty impressive. What has New Orleans done to have that kind of success?
So we faced, you know, just an unprecedented explosion in homelessness. And we basically, you know, relied on three major factors to really bring down homelessness. First, we assembled what I'd have to describe as a kick-ass outreach team that was willing to go anywhere and do anything to rescue and rehouse a homeless person. Secondly, we really put together a pot of rent assistance because the answer to homelessness is housing.
Right.
People tend to not understand that, but it really is about providing housing. And then the third thing is really about targeting that housing to the people who need it the most. And we take an approach which has been widely adopted around the country, but wasn't adopted at the time that we were first approaching this a decade ago, and that's called Housing First. And it's simply the idea that you accept people as they are, and you don't expect them to necessarily be clean and sober.
Mm-hmm.
You don't expect them to be able to take their psychiatric medication while they're out on the street, but you just accept them as they are, and you provide the housing first. Then once they're in their apartment, you immediately wrap all the services around them that they need to stay stable and live the highest quality life that they can live.
But where, how do you afford that? Because in order to provide housing first, you've got to have a house and you've got to have something that will pay for that.
Actually, this is a very cost-effective approach because when you think about it, it is costing the taxpayer a tremendous amount of money to leave people on the street because they're constantly cycling in and out of jail on charges that wouldn't even be relevant if they had an apartment. Things like urinating in public, drinking in public, obstructing the sidewalk because they're having to sleep on the sidewalk. Homeless offenses, in other words, that are costing the taxpayers a lot of money to be putting them in jail and processing them through the criminal justice system. Their health is deteriorating while they're out on the street. So they're being taken by ambulance to the emergency room mm-hmm. constantly. Those are huge charges, and really what you need is, you know, a relatively small amount of money to pay for some rent assistance, and they can contribute some of that rent as well with disability benefits or if they're able to work with, you know, employment income, and a little bit of case management assistance. It really has been proven over and over again in studies to be very cost effective.
And what's the long-term solution? How long do the people that you have helped end up staying in these, I would assume, temporary housing situations?
They're not temporary. This is permanent
this
housing.
Is permanent.
How long the rent assistance lasts depends on what people need. And we're kind of masters at trying to spread what is always an inadequate amount of money as far as it'll spread. So there are many people who do have serious mental health issues. Those folks may very well need rent assistance and case management for the rest of their lives. But others, particularly families, for example, the parent may be young and maybe lost her job and she's evicted and she ends up having to sleep in her car with her kids. That situation, we might provide rent assistance for a period of months. Then what we have found is that she's able to make it on her own after that. So we really individually triage people and give them what they need to stay stable and then assist the next person.
Another thing New Orleans has done is it's ended veteran homelessness, right?
Well, we have reached what we call functional zero, which mm-hmm. means that we compiled a list using our outreach team, using our shelter lists that are updated every night. And we housed in their own apartments every veteran on that list, except nine that had refused housing, mostly because of mental illness. And we continued to work with those nine at that point, have housed four more of them. And then going forward, we have made a commitment that anytime a veteran becomes newly homeless, we house them in an apartment within an average of 30 days or less. And we've maintained that now for over 4 years, and we're extremely proud of that. It is very hard work. It requires a lot of organizations working together, and the VA and the Housing Authority, everybody working together to make that happen. We've also reduced the length of time that any homeless family spends homeless to less than 45 days, and we're working on bringing that number down because the research shows that, you know, even the best-run shelter is no place for a kid to be.
What are the challenges that still remain in New Orleans, or what's the biggest challenge that you have at this point in trying to get that 90% to 100% of homelessness eliminated?
Well, we still have a relatively high proportion of our homeless people having to live outside, and you know, it's just something that we are constantly struggling with. It seems almost as if for every person that we house, that someone new is appearing. And that's because of this affordable housing crisis, the gentrification that we're facing. And so we just have to keep at it. We have to keep at it, and we have to ask government at all levels to do more to provide housing resources. We have to have housing for the elderly. We have to make sure that children aren't homeless. That's part of being a healthy community and a country that has a moral core.
I want to ask you one more thing, Martha Cagle, which is, what is the one thing that you've done that you, when you look at other cities or other places in the country that are dealing with homelessness that they haven't done, that you would say, this is the first thing you need to do?
I think at its core, that tackling homelessness is really about knowing and loving your community. You have to love the people in your community and want your community to thrive and care very deeply about the vulnerable people in it, that you're willing to do whatever it takes. Whatever it takes is what you have to do. It's amazing how housing can almost instantly change a person.
Mm-hmm.
I can think of a woman, for example, who was very paranoid, schizophrenic. She was sleeping outside in the parking lot of a fast food restaurant for about 10 years and had refused assistance, which isn't actually the typical thing. Most homeless people want to be housed, but she was actually very difficult to help. And we finally had an apartment that we thought would appeal to her because it had an outdoor courtyard. And we showed her a picture of it, and she actually just got in the outreach van without speaking. She was ready to go. So that day, actually, we were dedicating this apartment building. This was a hot, hot day in late June in New Orleans. But no matter what time of year it was, she was always bundled up in a winter coat, heavy winter coat.
Mm-hmm.
And she refused to eat the reception food off the plate. Instead, she would pick up scraps of food that had been dropped that were on the concrete floor of the courtyard. Mm. I remember that very clearly, her doing that. Well, that was a Friday. And the following Tuesday, I went in the building and I didn't recognize her because she had gone with her case manager through this box of donated clothing. And when I saw her, she was wearing just a light cotton floral summer dress. And she looked happy. And I teared up.
Yeah.
You know, it was just such a dramatic thing. And she's been stably, happily housed ever since.
That is Martha Cagle, who is executive director of Unity of Greater New Orleans, trying to deal with homelessness there in New Orleans and get people into homes. Thank you so much for joining us, Martha.
Thank you.